Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. Please do take a moment to sign the friendship register at the center aisle of each row and pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. We'd like to remind you folks that if you have children in our nursery or children's church, please leave your phones on vibrate so that we can contact you if your child needs your attention while they're with us. And now that we're in our post-pandemic mode of reopening our ministries, we need to ask for just a little bit of help. First, we need some folks to help with children's Sunday school classes. It's really very easy. If you can sit down with a few children and have a conversation for about a half hour or 40 minutes, well, you're hired. That simple. No experience necessary. All we ask is that you love the Lord, love our church, and love our children. It's not so much teaching, it's really just hanging out with some really cool kids during the Sunday school time. Please see myself or Kathy Connell if you'd like to consider serving in this way. And second, we'd love to have someone or maybe even several someone's the tag team to help manage our sound system, mostly during second service, but also on occasion here during first service when our own Bob Knopf is gone fishing or to the beach. After all, he is retired now, and he kind of disappears sometimes. So, and that too is not a difficult job. Just need someone to push a few buttons on occasion and adjust a few volume controls during the service. We'll certainly be happy to provide all the training necessary. And thank you, Brad Zimmerman, for being with us during Lenora's absence this morning. And thank you for your gift of music ministry and sharing it with us here at Berry once again, Brad. Good to see you again this morning. All right. And now may we begin our worship service. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Praise his name. From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord.
The Lord rules over all nations.
His glory is above the heavens. Let us sing our opening hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 16. We'll sing all stanzas.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise to thee an altar, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, how I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for the many gifts you've bestowed upon us in this congregation of Berry Christian Church. We are grateful for our music ministries, for the spiritual teachings, for the fellowship of like-minded Christians, and for the love we share with each other as members of the Berry Church family. We pray, Lord, that through our good deeds, each of us can be the blessing of the one for the many, and that each of us may inspire others to offer ourselves in simple and great ways for the benefit of others and for the glory of you, O God. We welcome the Holy Spirit into our midst to usher in the presence of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you.
Good morning, sir.
We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon while we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? I like it. This is the first thing my youngest grandson learned when he saw me, because I was always doing this with him. And so this is what he did when he saw me. Not quite as good as a hug and a kiss, but it works. Anyway, I have some words this morning. Let's see. I have sanctified, perfected, consecrated, purified, justified. Oh my goodness. Those are a lot of big words, aren't they? Yeah, they are. Those words come out of the Bible, and we see those whenever we're talking about what Jesus does for us. All of those words, when we accept Jesus into our heart. And there are a lot of big words, and I'm not going to try and explain every single word separately. But mostly when we accept Jesus in our heart, what happens? What happens when you do something wrong at home and you say, Mom, I'm sorry? What happens? What does Mom do?
She says it's okay.
She forgives you, doesn't she? Sure, because Mama loves you, right? Yeah, that's how it works. Well, God's kind of like that, except when we know we did something wrong and we say to God, God, I was wrong. I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. Not only does God forgive us, but he goes, I love you. You are my child. So here's what happens. He says, I forgive you. And I make it like it never happened. He forgives everything we do wrong, and he says, I won't remember it anymore. It's gone. It never happened. That is pretty awesome, isn't it? Just because we love Jesus and we ask God to forgive us, he says, okay, it's gone. I love you. Let's start again. Let's try to do better. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this gorgeous morning. Thank you for these children. Please help us in our life to hear what you need us to hear, speak what you need us to speak, and always remember that in Jesus, we have fulfillment. We have everlasting life. And all because we love you and Jesus gave himself for us. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, I'm just delighted to be able to say that no one was in the hospital this past week whatsoever. That's a good thing, you know. It was just a steady week. We didn't have any new illnesses whatsoever. That is quite surprising for a pastor, you know. So the people we continue to remember, Don Thomas, as he's recovering at home, Grace Kimberling, Jerry Treese, as he is also continuing his treatments, Natalie and Savannah Gorman, Barbara Mayberry's daughter, Shannon, and her sister, Tootie, Linda Stevens' sister, Donna, Anna Hext, the cousin of Edna Williams, continues to be in our prayers, as well as Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna, and E.H. Smith, a friend of Don and Judy Thomas, recovering from bypass surgery, Leanne Branson, wife of Roxy Weaver's co-worker, and Ruth Ann Thacker of Arizona, a friend of Linda Coyne. All of these people we keep in our prayers, as well as certainly many others we've been remembering for several weeks, but it certainly is our privilege to go before the Lord in prayer as we bow our heads this morning. Merciful and holy God, we bow before your presence, and we pray that the meditations of our hearts may be honorable to you, and that our voices may be lifted up in praise as we offer glory to your name and to your kingdom here on earth. As the summer of 2021 unfolds before us, we realize that all of us are in an ongoing period of transition. Now, as our nation and much of the world moves away from the restrictions, even as the virus may still remain as a concern for many, we recognize also, O God, that the summer months are always a period of great movement. For every year we realize that over 10% of our nation's population moves location with any given 1 year's time. And we are humbled also by the fact that the average stay in any one location for our nation's population is a mere 5 years. Such movement reminds us, O God, that there is always a need to adapt and adjust to changes, even as we seek for meaningful stability in our lives. Yet, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were nomads in arid lands, we know that your presence abided with each of them and their families. And we also know, O God, with confidence that your presence abides with us as well. And we affirm this truth, as Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 tells us that your presence will go with us. And as Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 assures us that the Lord our God is always in our midst. So no matter what transitions we may yet face in the months ahead, O God, may it be with utmost assurance that we step forward with the confidence your Holy Spirit offers. This we pray, as we also lift up the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When my mind is like a battlefield, and my heart is overcome by fear, and hope seems like a ship that's lost at sea, my enemies on every side, and I'm tempted to run and hide. Your gentle whisper reaches out to me. Peace that holds me when I'm broken, sweet peace that passes understanding. When the whole wide world is crashing down, I fall on my knees and breathe in your peace. Fiery arrows whistling, the terror of the night sets in. But I can feel your angels all around. I am resting underneath the shelter of your mighty wings. Your promises are where my hope is found. Peace that holds me when I'm broken, sweet peace that passes understanding. When the whole wide world is crashing down, I fall on my knees and breathe in your peace. I remember who you are. You're the God who's never far. So I will not be afraid. God, you always keep me safe in your arms. God, I remember who you are. You're the God who's never far. So I will not be afraid. God, you always keep me safe. You give me peace that holds me when I'm broken, sweet peace that passes understanding. When the whole wide world is crashing down, I fall on my knees and breathe in. Your peace.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. One of the most concise biblical texts that demonstrates God's formula for the salvation of humanity through Christ our Lord is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift He gave us in His dear Son. For by the sacrificial death of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which He gave to us in such large measure. We celebrate the assurance and promise of salvation that God's Word reveals as we receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, and as we prepare our hearts to receive by singing all stanzas of our communion hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together. It's hymn number 425, please.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as today leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table, we remember the sacrifice your Son made for the forgiveness of our sins. Bless this bread representing his broken body and this cup representing his spilt blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. The English word generosity originated centuries ago from a Latin word generosus, which simply means to come from noble birth. By the 1600s, however, the word's meaning began to be increasingly associated with noble and admirable qualities that can be associated with any person willing to give of themselves to others, regardless of the origins of one's birth. And surely, as we contemplate one who is most generous and thus noble in the truest sense, we remember that our Lord Jesus offered himself totally that we might be redeemed from sin. As 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the first portion of the verse says, "This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us." In thanksgiving for our Lord's great generosity, then, we offer a portion of our resources for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, as Bob leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, may these tithes and offerings be blessed to help, feed, and support those in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I'd like to share with you this morning. This comes from the New Testament book of Hebrews. It's verses 10 and then 12 and 4 through 14. Because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do, we are all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all. Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever, and then he sat down at the right side of God. And there he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord God, we are indeed grateful to be in your house this Lord's Day morning, as we are mindful that truly the one can be a profound blessing for the many. Guide us in our meditations as we strive to be drawn ever closer to you through your Spirit's guidance. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Being carried away by the flow of a packed crowd of people, or stuck in a circular conversation with some call center representative in a foreign country while muddling through the misguided transaction with a multinational corporation, one can very quickly begin to get the feeling that there is little power in the individual in any consequential sense. We've all been there on any number of occasions, and the overuse of automation and the internet make it appear that personalized service and individualized attention will continue to become even less and less significant as future years transpire. After all, we can seldom even talk to a clerk at the checkout now. Instead, we are met with one more automated digital and electronic device that offers nothing more than the simulation of a human voice. And alas, doesn't even offer a smile for our endeavor to be there. Yet, despite such feeling of insignificance at times, as a people of faith, it should give us great encouragement to realize just how significant the one person is in the eyes of God. The omnipresence of our loving God is so great that the gospel tells us, not only in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, but again in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, that as for us, even the hairs upon our head are counted. You know, that's the same text that says that not even one sparrow falls to the ground without the Almighty knowing it, right? So that just does go to show us just how significant we are, every one of us, in the eye and mind and heart of God. And yet even further encouragement is ours when we realize just how much of a blessing one person really can be for the many. And as I was thinking of this, I was reminded of a woman I knew a few years ago. Her name was Margie Bruner. She had a special talent. Margie made life magical. On a limited budget with a growing family, Margie put her creative talents to work on a daily basis, turning the mundane into the exciting and making the ordinary mystical. Margie loved holidays, all of them. And she made her children and her children's friends feel like kings and queens as every holiday opportunity came about on the calendar. One Christmas season, Margie made colorful vests for all her children and her sons, even had matching holly fabric bow ties, if you will. And later on, as she had grandchildren, 18 stockings were the central theme of Margie's Advent decoration, because she had made a stocking for every one of her 18 grandchildren. On St. Patrick's Day, the children's shoes were lined up in anticipation of a special visit. I never thought of this one when, you know, we were growing up. On the morning of St. Patrick's Day, the children's shoes were filled with not a lot, but a little bit of money, and then glitter was on the floor, all the way to the doorway, evidence that a visit had come from the leprechauns. Now, what I wonder is how Margie ever got that glitter up. I bet her house had glitter from then on. The tooth fairy was also quite generous at the Bruner's house. Not only did the tooth fairy visit when Margie's children were young, but the tooth fairy continued to visit even the grandchildren as well. Halloween, of course, was always Margie's most special holiday. Costumes for her children were always handmade, and costumes and visits with the grandchildren were a recurring tradition. And as the grandchildren got older, it was still customary for Margie to line up 18 pumpkins in her window to again celebrate that she had what? 18 grandchildren. Now imagine taking 18 pumpkins and carving them all into various jack-o'-lanterns. I often wonder if maybe she tried to carve the face to match the child, you know. Margie's flair for crafts had a way of expressing her love for her family. When money was tight, Margie took plain school notebooks and painted them so that her children would feel special as they journeyed off to their first years in school. Margie's house was always spotless, but not at the expense of criticism and ridicule toward her children. Years ago, Margie was waxing her floors. So again, we know she had wood floors because she used this stuff that some of us may remember called Johnson paste wax. Anybody remember Johnson Paste Wax? Okay, right, I remember. You know, I used to wax our family car with Johnson Paste Wax. And one time they got the mechanics got a big old deep scratch in the hood of my mother's red car, and we could look at the layers all the way down to the steel. The wax layer of Johnson Paste Wax was thicker than the paint, because my mama was having me out there waxing that car every Saturday morning. So you remember Johnson Paste Wax. You know that you can put it on real thick, but then what do you got to do? You got to rub, and you got to rub, and you got to rub, and you got to rub some more before you can finally get it, what, off. So Margie had a good idea. She worked all day working on putting that Johnson Paste Wax on her floor. I don't really recommend that. It makes it really slick, you know. But then what she did when the kids got home from school was she had rigged up tea towels so that they would tie on to her kids' shoes. And then they could go scooting around the house and rubbing along with their feet to kind of buff up that Johnson Paste Wax. Now, who would have thought of doing something like that just for the fun of it? Margie's love was never limited to her children. As her children married, spouses continued to be coming into the house, and they were like daughters and sons, not in-laws. Making silk flowers for her children's weddings were but another way that she showed her love for her children and their spouses. And even as school activities continued through the years, not only were her four children the ones who were being addressed, but you know, at special events, but when the 18 grandchildren were growing up, her jubilant clap was incredibly distinctive and generated a boost for every family member performing. You know that relative, the one who has such zeal that you just can't miss them when they're in the audience, right? That was Margie. More could be said, but the truth of all of Margie's activities for others is simply that, again, Margie made life magical. She took the ordinary, she took the routine, and she had just a special talent of making individuals feel special, even in the midst of the ordinary things of life. Margie surely was the one who was a blessing for the many. We're familiar with the scripture story in Acts chapter 9 of the resurrection of the dead of Dorcas, or as she was known in the Greek language, Tabitha, because we spoke about her just a few weeks ago, you may remember. The people of Joppa were devastated when she died. For the text tells us that she spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. And when Simon Peter arrived, the mourning widows showed him the shirts and coats that Tabitha had made for them while she was alive. And mindful of the incredible contribution that she had made to her community, through the power of God, we know that Simon Peter raised her up from the dead. She was risen from the dead so that she might be able to continue those amazing contributions. Again, the contributions of the one, the blessing of the one for the many. And as people of faith, we're inspired by the very example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, time and time again, we see how Jesus expresses the blessing of the one for the many. We know when Jesus washed his disciples' feet before the Last Supper, here he was, the one, doing the role of the servant for the dozen of them. And he was doing this to again inspire them. As he said in John chapter 13, verse 15, I have set an example for you so that you will do just as I have done for you. Well, what had he done? He had offered up the role of the servant, and he was inspiring his disciples to take on that servant role in whatever they may do in the endeavors that would be theirs after his death, resurrection, and ascension. And of course, we also know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, another grand testimony of the blessing of the one for many. We remember that in seeking out a resource, the resource of a one, the one, was actually chosen. It was the singular young man who offered his simple lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 dried out, basically, sardines. That doesn't sound very tasty, does it? But again, we know that Jesus took that offering that the boy gave, and as he raised those baskets up into the heavens and prayed to God, indeed, God was able to transform that into a feeding of the masses. Not only were 5,000 men fed in that time, we know also certainly the spouses and children who were there also, so easily up to 20,000 people, all blessed by the one. In contrast to the blessing of the one for the many, we also have known there have been circumstances where there have been the horrors created by the one against the many. How often have we heard stories of these terrible mass shootings that through the availability of automatic gunfire, one is able to destroy the lives of so many. And in truth, we realize the great tragedy of sinful separation from God has plagued the entire human race ever since the actions of the one, Adam, right? For we know in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the text tells us sin came into the world through one man, meaning Adam. And his sin brought death to the whole human race because everyone then has taken on that sinful nature. Yet, we also know that our loving God designed a plan of redemption that through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, every one of us, and indeed anyone in the world who is receptive to the call of God, has an avenue of redemption. Still, in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, backing up to the 8th verse, the text says, "But God has shown us how much He loves us. It was while we were still sinners that the one man, Christ, died for us." And in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, the text says, God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with Him through, again, who? The one man, Jesus Christ, who has set us free. And what made our Lord Jesus so very effective as the one is simply that He was willing to be obedient to the plan God had set forth, likely from the moment humanity transgressed God's plan there in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews chapter 10, our text this morning. Again, we remember what the verses say, beginning with the 10th verse. Because Jesus Christ, again, the one, did what God wanted Him to do, we are all purified from sin by the offering that He made of His own body once and for all. Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then He sat down at the right side of God, and there He now waits until God puts His enemies as a footstool under His feet. With one sacrifice, then, He has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. So you see this morning, the blessing of the one for the many. It's the most unique and compelling characteristic of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So often, we can feel that our endeavors compare as to be very little up against what Christ has done for us. But rather than to discourage us, Christ's actions should encourage and empower us, because what we understand is that in thanksgiving for what Christ has already done for us, we are privileged to offer ourselves and to offer the resources, the talents, and the assets that we have to be a blessing for others. In the simplest way, what Christ and folks like Margie Bruner have revealed to us is that the one really can be a blessing to the many, especially in our automated world. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed, or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 612 in your hymnal. O Jesus, I have promised. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward with the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, as we depart, may we always know that even if we are the one, we are blessed with the privilege to offer the best of ourselves for the many endeavors that can bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. Guide us as we step forward into the task of this new week. In Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to worship you this day. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.